those cuts. Clinton and Gore and Daschle and Gerhardt all said we could spend more on the military and the schools, reduce taxes, and still pay off the national debt. Now suddenly deficits are back, and the two parties are committed to balanced budgets forever and aye. It looks bad, but the solution's not complicated at all. And it doesn't have to be painful. Cut out the military buildup and the drug war with its prisons and all that, and pass more of the tax bill on to those who can afford it. Simple. But the public, parents, and teachers have to impose those answers on politicians. The alarm bells are ringing.
Veteran journalist and media critic, John Hess. And that's some of the news for Thursday, August 30th, 2001. The news was engineered in New York by Dred Scott Keyes and produced with Jose Santiago, Ginger Otis, Sally O'Brien, and John Hess. I'm Andrea Sears in New York for the WBAI Evening News.
Brought to you on recording over listener-supported WBAI New York, 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio. Well, it's one miscue on a cart. Good morning, Cabal. Bob Fess should be here within a reasonable amount of time. Who knows? In the meantime, let's have a little bit of music.
Bye.
Warble on a CD. Good morning, Cabal. This is Bill Propp. Bob Fass is expected. I'm pleased to say John McDonough is here, and he has a lot of material. Hiya, John. What's up?
Oh, you can hear it. It already has a nice slant to it. It had that
first song, If I Had a Rocket Launcher, some son of a bitch would pay, and that was Bruce Colburn. And then there was The Patriot Game, Judy Collins, written by Dominic Behan, the brother of
Brendan
Behan.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I could have read the liner notes. I have. You know,
no, that is one of the best versions of that song. And
I love that.
I know when Bob gets here, he wanted to talk about a comedy benefit that happened on Tuesday night, a full house at Caroline's on Broadway, and a fundraiser for the 2 Year 46 out there in Texas at Robert Knight and Randy Credico have been covering extensively. And it was a great night. I did a little bit of shtick. Grandpa Al was up there giving out. Wasn't doing so much comedy, but just talking about life in general like he used to do here.
Well, that can be funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was...
Especially the way he tells it.
Yeah.
I heard all about it. I was still on the left coast, stuck on the way getting back from some family affairs, and I heard all about it. I even got a message to come. I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
I hope did somebody get video or audio?
Yeah, we were hoping to play some of it tonight, but we will get it during the week and play some of it because Barry Crimmins was there and a few other comedians that were very good, but they played videos of what the Rockefeller drug laws and the plight of the 2U46, how everybody was arrested, all the African-American males under a certain age, although one guy arrested was 60 years old. He was the alleged drug kingpin. And they went to his house, and it was more like a shack living in this Tulia, Texas town, and they were saying, you know, would a drug kingpin really live like this? And it's just, it's amazing what goes on in Texas and some of the other states, and even including here, that some of the people that were in jail because of the Rockefeller drug laws that were at Caroline's that did some heavy time, 12 years, 15 years. I mean, there's no in and out. And these were females.
Was Elaine Bartlett one of them?
That's right. Yeah, sure. Yep. Elaine was there.
Great.
And, you know, she spoke. And it was just a great night organized by Randy. And when I say organized by Randy, I mean he took the reservations, he served drinks, he emceed, he did the video. And
washed the dishes?
Well, no. When I left, he was working the tables after everybody was leaving. So, you know, Randy can do anything and everything.
The amazing... Oh, that's already taken. The amazing Randy.
I tell you one thing. It's an honor for me to be sitting in here for Bob now tonight. Oh. I didn't know I was going to be sitting in with you, Bill.
Neither did I. It's a pleasure.
And I did bring up some CDs. So, you know, maybe we'll play some songs, take some phone calls about the events that are going on here, overseas, around the world. And
around the block.
Yeah.
And packing downstairs on them.
Yeah, it was great to see about 20 people outside on the vigil. As we call them now, the vigil people are outside. Doing YMCA, and, you know, talking to Sally O'Brien when she came out, and Eddie Soto, and everybody coming and going, and,
good to see
you know, cordial conversations about what they think about what's going on at the station and what the vigil people think, and, you know, I think it's a good to and fro, because it's very rare that the listeners can actually talk to the producers, and one of the ways that it's been happening because of what's going on here is the vigil, the 24-hour vigils, people are getting to meet the producers, going back and forth, and talk to them and getting their ideas about what's going on here at the station, and I think it's a very worthwhile project.
Yeah, there's got to be that interchange. I mean, that's part of what BAI is, as opposed to commercial radio. By analogy, I think the Living Theater had a somewhat similar concept. Break down the proscenium arch to get the division between the performers and the players, even though they do have roles and they can even switch at times. And I think what we have is somewhat analogous to that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be communication. That's what it's all about. If we put up this wall or proscenium or whatever it is, something is lost.
Yes.
Knowledge is what it's at.
Yeah. And also at Caroline's that night, one of the most famous people that was there was Monroe. Monroe is known to everyone there. Even if you listen to BAI and you only listen to certain shows, say you listen at night, you would know Monroe because he calls in at night. If you only listened in the morning, now you might not know the producers at different times of the day, but everyone there knew Monroe because he literally calls every show. I don't know if he sleeps at all, but...
He gets he's on more... on the air more than, well, certainly myself.
And he was handing out his manifesto, which I brought up here today. I don't think we're going to read it. It was like the Unabomber.
Oh, his doctrine or Monroe's doctrine?
Yeah, the Monroe doctrine was being handed out.
You realize we're only encouraging him now, but that's okay.
Well, as Bob said, there's no way to stop him once he starts taking phone calls.
Reading
that'll be
reach.
It.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get his review of what he thought out Tuesday night.
And he's a movie star.
What was he in?
Oh, well, a producer, a filmmaker, Steve Hutchinson, who's been up here a number of times, not only on Bob's program but other producers, is an ongoing filmmaker. There's a work in progress now. One of them was pretty much spotlighting Monroe. And one other listener who is unfortunately, I understand, now deceased, that was a caller, by the way, Mark, his name was, who gave BAI its first CD or the funds to buy that way back on 35th Street. And I heard he was also in the movie, and I understand subsequent to making that movie he jumped out a window at Co-op City. He was always talking about how depressed he was.
Right.
He even called Lynn Samuels when she moved, you know, to the other one. We're getting into radio chit chat, but it was kind of sad. And but Monroe, it was a thoughtful piece. It followed him underneath the 59th Street Bridge and watering the flowers there and cranking this station from his own phone. It was kind of a demonic. Well, I don't want to project what I thought. He was having a good time doing his thing, and Steve Hutchinson, who I was hoping might be able to come up here and do some more just radio verite or documenting that, might still come up sometime in the near future, if not.
You work with Bob a long time. Did the phone calls at night? I mean, I take phone calls on Saturday afternoon on Radio Free Aaron. it's quite different from the phone calls at night. And you talked about that guy was depressed. I knew last week or the week before there was a very depressed individual that called up Bob requesting a song. And it was ironic that some of the callers called in and sang it.
Wow.
I think Moogie sang it.
This was, oh, I think.
No,
this,
no, it was about 2 weeks ago.
I
three
think
weeks
I heard
ago. You were,
yeah.
You were up
yes.
here.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think at this hour, you probably tend to get a lot of people that are drinking or doing drugs and, you know, listening to WBAI and then call up. And I think Bob handles, that's what's so great about him, the way he handles calls like that.
There were some Lifeline calls years ago. Somebody had just swallowed a bunch of sleeping pills, and Bob kept the person on the line, and they traced the line, saved her just in time. There's all kinds of stories abound like that, not only here, but Bob, you know, had the patience to, and the presence of mind to see it through. And that person now?
And the type of personality, too.
Yeah,
I mean, which is what you need. A lot of people couldn't do that. I mean, just to talk and soothe talk someone through something like that.
Next.
Well, the only thing I think about Bob is he was complaining every week I've been up here about his car has been overheating. So I don't know when he comes from Staten Island, if he comes over to Verrazano Bridge and maybe stuck in traffic at coming through the tunnel.
He goes, I think, by way of Jersey. He actually, I didn't believe it until he showed me on a map. It's shorter to go from New York to New Jersey to New York.
Right, coming through the tunnel and probably over one of the bridges and then coming up. Well, maybe we'll play one song here because Labor Day is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing I'm depressed about is there's no more Napster. And to go through Napster and pull a lot of these songs off, one of them I managed to get off was Joe Hill, but sang by Paul Robeson. I have to believe that some of these are very rare recordings because we also have singing Kevin Barry, which is an Irish rebel who was hung at the age of 18, and he sings that song. And as a matter of fact, a little side story to that, Kevin Barry, after he was hung, was buried in Mountjoy Prison, and only last week they dug up his remains, and they're going to give him a proper burial, a state funeral for him in a couple of weeks' time, and we'll be playing that song of Paul Robeson singing that. But this is probably one of the best versions of Joe Hill. And this is, I guess, in honor of all the workers out there.
I've heard many versions of Joe Hill sung by Paul Robeson.
Uh-huh. I don't know which one this is
now. I don't know which
one,
but they're all interesting.
Yeah, and then this is to everybody. This is it. The summer's over. Anybody that has kids knows Staples is packed. They're all getting ready now to get up and start heading into school next week. And so this goes out to everybody out there, everybody that's laboring on this Labor Day weekend.
Right.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake City, Joe, says I, am standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I'm dead. Says Joe, but I'm dead. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I didn't die. Says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life, smiling with his eyes, says Joe, what they can never kill, went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, it's there you find your hill. It's there you find your ear. dreamed I saw Joe here last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he.
Their tape recorders on for that one. I think that's very rare. You could go this whole weekend, and people are going to be talking about Labor Day and barbecues and going to the Met game and to the Yankee game and to doing all these things. It's going to be very few places they're going to be playing Paul Robeson singing Joe Hill and a version like that. And you were just telling me, Bill, there's a couple of versions that he sings.
Yeah, I've heard them, even on this station, back-to-back at some times. And I think there's a video that I saw on one of the cable channels. And this is a very clean copy for Napster, by the way.
Yeah.
And this, I don't know which one of these, among the many he did, that I'm familiar with, but...
No, I see it's still spinning around. Is that the CD?
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
It's silent. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This is all digital. There's no tape headwear, anyway. But I wish the equipment would function the way a $3,000 machine is supposed to.
Yeah. Very expensive. Yeah. Well, I know people are trying to figure out, where's Bob Fass? And you're going to have that very low voice and very slow and deliberate.
Take him riding in the car.
1228. Bob, you're out there. Call. But Bob doesn't have a cell phone, does he?
No. Not
we might as well give out the number here. 212-209-2900. I'm always amazed by Bob that he gives out the number once at about 12 o'clock. He doesn't give it out again, and he leaves at 3:30. And the phones just light up.
People know. He could not give it out the entire night, and not just Bob, but people know.
I'm going to tell you, on Saturday afternoon, we could give out the phone number maybe 10 times, and not that many people call up, unless we were covering some sort of controversial topic. But a lot of people at this time of night want to talk and
this
talk about it. And this is radio unnameable, and people talk about anything and everything. And we hope to play later a BBC report that was done a little bit about BAI. It went out to 60 million people about 3 months ago. They were filming Radio Free Aaron and an FBI informant that was working in a group here called the Irish Freedom Committee. But when we play the tape, you have to listen to her description of WBAI. She's standing outside on Wall Street. She says, Wall Street, the financial capital of the world. And then she looks up at the 10th floor and she says, and up there on the 10th floor, a mutation here on Wall Street. And, you know, they go into the usual rigmarole. But it was a pretty fair piece from BBC.
Mutation.
Yes. That's what she called it up here. So,
Okay, well, let's
I might take a few
John,
phone calls.
You've set it off. It's like it's a bingo.
No. This is Bob. I don't have to do anything. This is Bob's crew calling in.
Here's one ringy dingy. Let's give it a whirl.
Okay.
BAI, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
The last time I seen you were on Broadway.
Yeah. For those of the people who don't recognize the voice, this is Al Lewis, sometimes known as Grandpa. And I have a question for the listeners. I'd like to know their opinion. I have heard that my good friend Clayton Riley has been suspended. And since he was kind enough to take over my show and do it when I was in Havana, I wonder, while he's serving his suspension, maybe this Saturday I can do his show and do mine. And I wonder what the listeners would think of that suggestion. And then the other thing I wanted to say before this old man hits the sack is, I saw on the net that one of the members of the national board, I believe her first name is Valerie. I don't remember recalling the last name, who was part of the majority of six, has since switched. So now the dissidents have six, and the incumbents have five. and the six people composed a letter that they all signed. This, I read this on the net. And they said, in effect, I'm not quoting the letter, maybe some of the listeners who saw it on the net can do that better than I, that they objected to the way Amy Goodman has been treated, especially by the fact that she was attacked by Miss Yatrice Leed, and they demanded that Amy Goodman be put back on the payroll and be allowed to do her show from whatever location she wants. If she feels that she is being harassed at the station, she can do it at another location. And they sent this letter to Bessie Wash. Now, they have done nothing about it. At least Miss Goodman was not on the air this morning. According to... Also, the other thing was that the lady who switched sides said that they demand to see... apparently, the station now has cameras all over. And they want a copy of the film. And if the film shows that Miss Yatrice Leed did, has been asserted, attack Amy Goodman, that she should be immediately dismissed. The other thing was that one of the broadcasters on WBAI, Paul DiRienzo, said that they no longer take dictation from the national board. Is that a coincidence now that they're in the minority? And that ingrate, Mr. DiRienzo, Paul, who I only met once in my life, who asked me to do him a favor when he was, I don't know, for a month, editor of High Times, and I did. I got him an interview with someone that he was desperately seeking to interview, and you never thanked me, you ingrate. You never called up and said, Al, I want to thank you for doing what I couldn't do.
Well, he's free to call now.
Yeah, he can
hey,
call up now.
Al, you got a long memory.
Oh, you better believe it. I have a long, well, I've lived a long time, so yes. Accumulate memories. But I have to say publicly, I got to say this. Oh, let's see. I guess since about 1923, I've been trying to make people laugh. And I have to say, and I'm a pretty good judge of what is funny, what is creative, and what is not funny, even though it is popular. Okay? When I was at Caroline's, I couldn't stay very long because of my illness. And I was very fortunate. My wife and I were there to see John McDonough perform. Now, I doubt if Mr. McDonough thinks of himself as a performer. But he got up, and I don't know how long it ran, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes. The most creative, funny thing that I have seen in a long, long time. A long time. And I am sorry. I hope somebody filmed it or took an audio down of it or something. Because those of you who were not there missed something really, really special. And, John, I want to thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, it was really, you know, we had a conversation this afternoon. And I'm telling you, it was... Not funny in the sense of one-liners, you know, who is that lady? That's not my lady, that's my wife. I'm not talking about jokes. I mean, it was very creative dealing with the topical situation at the station. And funny. The audience was in an uproar over it. And again, I want to thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, Al, I mean, you know, hearing the praise from you because you've seen it all, and I read about you on the internet. It said you went from vaudeville to the internet, and that is quite a long span of time.
That's right. But I want to thank, and I just hope that Bob Bass remembered to put water in so it doesn't overheat.
I offered to give him a gallon jug when he's kind enough to drop me off.
No, I know that, but he's got to do that. That old Cadillac is. I think it's ready to go to Potter's Field. I know Bob wouldn't, if he's listening on the radio, he's going to be angry that I said it. But I hope he's well, And I want to thank you guys. I'm going to get off. I want to hear what the listeners think about my suggestion about me covering Clayton Riley, because she was kind enough to cover for me when I was in Havana.
Well, Al, there's certainly enough head honchos running around the studio lately with everybody from Pacifica flying in to help out with the fundraisers.
Yeah, I think it's a question of circling the wagons, because there might be a showdown, because six has always been more than five.
I think they call that an emerging majority.
Yes. That has come upon the scene. Yes, yes. And, you know, I don't know what action these six are going to take. And I don't know what the insurgents now, the five, and those who are at the station can do but circle the wagon. What can they do? I don't know. Do we have to get a marshal to evict them? Do we need a crowbar? I don't know. I don't know. But they face that situation, and it's of their own doing. It's absolutely their own doing. So I would like to hear what some of the listeners want to say about it, and I'm going to hang up and listen for about 15 minutes and then hit the sack.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And Al, thanks for the review. Hopefully that's recorded.
I will cry if nobody recorded it.
It's been recorded, and I will be getting it this week, and there is a video, so we will be playing it.
It's spectacular.
And we'll transcribe your review and post it wherever John appears.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for your encouragement, but I don't think I'll be changing careers to become a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, but I told you, too. Did I not tell you this afternoon?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you have that knack for writing creative, topical stuff which not been around in comedy for a long time, and I'm telling you, it's going to make a resurgence with John McDonough.
Thank you.
Good night, and thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Spoken from somebody who knows.
I know. I'm very humbled by having Grandpa Al say that. But it was a great night, and the crowd was great. But it was a BAI crowd. So they got, I was just making comments on my take on what's going on at the station. And everybody got it, because you could go up there, and I could have went on, and everybody looking at me dumbfounded, what under God is he talking about? But everybody got it, and I'm thankful for that, because that really helps.
I wish I hope somebody has that captured audio. By the way, I dug out. I was in L.A., among other places, as well as a stinking desert of 115 degrees to the east of that. Anyway, from the this situation, Pacifica, that is, not BAI per se, but Pacifica. Let's keep it Pacifica, okay? This is from the L.A. Times. It's even made it out there. Maybe this is old news. It's Saturday, the 25th. And it's probably all over the net, and it might have even been there too old when the L.A. Times printed it, but in their radio column of Saturday the 25th, let's see, it's titled Union Supporting Democracy Staff. The flagship station of the Pacifica radio show, Democracy Now!, is not a, quote, safe and appropriate working environment, unquote, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists declared Thursday. The program on the left-leaning Pacifica network airs weekday mornings on KPFK-FM, the frequency is given, and normally originates from WBAI-FM in New York. The show's host, Amy Goodman, has maintained that threats and intimidation from WBAI managers forced her and her staff to begin broadcasting Democracy Now! From an off-site studio last week. Pacifica officials have not only refused to air what they call unauthorized broadcasts. Hello, Gary Noel. Hello, Armand DeMille. That's an aside.
That's authorized.
True. Good point, but it doesn't seem like a very difficult feat to authorize it. Anyway, pardon me. Refusing to what they call unauthorized broadcasts, but suspended staff without pay until it returns to work at WBAI. AFTRA had reached an agreement with Pacifica that the network would investigate Goodman's allegations, during which the program's staff would return to work at the station. But AFTRA has now rescinded its recommendation, saying that subsequent incidents changed its view of the safety at WBAI. Larry Drapkin, a Los Angeles-based labor lawyer for Pacifica, said AFTRA is free to file a grievance but that the workers must return to the station in the meantime. Goodman, for her part, said she and her staff are fulfilling their responsibilities and won't return to WBAI until their safety is ensured. Now, we probably know this well enough by now, but this is way out on
well,
the left
corner. Also, today's Daily News, if you get a chance to get an old copy, there was two op-ed pieces in the Daily News today, one from Leslie Kagan of the Pacifica Board and the other one from Bessie Wash, the executive director of Pacifica. And strange, I listened to BAI most of the day and no one brought it up, even just from an objective point of view. Read both articles and see where you come down. But the station didn't even push to go out and read these articles from the Daily News for whatever reason. I thought it was very odd that, you know, people should have been encouraged. Go out, read. You have two sides to the story. And see where you come down on it. But
well, maybe it wasn't relevant today since it's, I think they were fundraising.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. I really don't know. But I can't speculate any degree. It's probably not. It's pointless to do
that.
I think
we should do a fundraiser for a new car for Bob.
Yeah, that's really. He's had a pretty good run until now, but I think it's time. I think it's time.
That pink Cadillac's got to be put to rest.
You mean, how about the corporation, or the General Motors, you mean, or just his car?
Well, listen, should we take a few more phone calls? I mean, Al threw down the gauntlet out there. Al wants to get back.
Yes,
Al's unemployed from the radio right now at the moment, and there seems to be openings here at the station.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot more in the future.
He's kind enough to reciprocate,
and
so he's
going
to put in some free time.
Al just wants to pay back what was done to him with Clayton. I think it would be nice. Clayton filled in for him now since, when was it, since February?
Right. Return the favor.
Right, and Al just wants to return the favor. Al is that kind of stand-up guy. He's always been like that, so, you know.
That's right. Oh, let's see what happens. Let's see what the...
see what the night owls have to say.
All right, let's try this one here. Hi, you're on the radio. Hello?
Well, let me turn off the radio.
Good idea.
Okay. I've been listening to BAI for years, and right now, after 6 months of hearing about the disputes, I'm tired. I wish everybody could just sit down in a neutral venue and just talk to one another about their differences. And I really don't want to hear about it on the radio. I want to hear good radio. And right now, I'm not hearing good radio.
And well, what's your idea of good radio?
Stimulating radio. Radio that really stimulates me. It says, oh, there's a great idea out there. He's talking about something and I stop work while I listen to it. I stop work just to listen to whatever's on the air.
Well, certainly the point of view we're putting out is very minority here on this station, so you must be referring to a lot of the other programming that you're not happy with.
Well, let me put it like this. Ready? Yeah, I don't like, I've never liked the politics, but I've always found it very stimulating. They had people who had ideas to talk about, and they knew what they were talking about, and they were never dull. Once in a while, you used to get, okay, you have political people on there who get dull and are very dull because you know like, what they're going to say, and they come across as dull. But once in a while, you get programs which are really great, and BAI used to win loads of Armstrong awards.
That's right, with some of the people who used to do programs right here, and are not here right now.
Right.
That's part of the problem. We'd like to win more Armstrong Awards and have more stimulating programs. It's getting increasingly hard to do that.
Well, I remember when you had offices back on 62nd Street and later on 35th Street, plaques were on the wall of all the Armstrong
Awards. That's right.
Some of them were thrown out. They were thrown out during the move, by the way, I understand, from 35th to here.
Well, that's unfortunate, but absolutely, I mean,
or otherwise.
There was a time when radio was really stimulating at BAI, and now, for some reason or other, it's become
well,
a bit
listen,
boring.
We can only hope that, like you said, maybe everyone's getting together. Well, the Pacifica Board is now changing as we speak, and you know there could be more changes coming. One way or the other, there probably will be changes coming now. You can't predict the future up here at WBAI.
Of course not.
Yogi Berra once said, making predictions is very difficult, especially about the future.
Is it possible, though, for people just to sit down and talk to one another?
Well, I mean...
Growing throwing ad hominem attacks at one another?
Well, I know. I mean, it's being argued out now through the papers and the courts. I don't think people have actually sat down together recently. But you know what? Who knows what could happen?
Right. You know, the first call we opened up, it was Grandpa. You're the second caller. Let's keep it going. Was Grandpa boring? He was a caller like you.
No, but okay. I'm just saying. After 6 months, I'm tired of listening to disputes.
Well, I'm tired of the dispute myself. I wish. let's see what.
And actually, it's 8 months.
Eight
right.
months. Eight
December.
Months. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, since December.
Here. Yeah. All right, well, listen, thanks for listening, and, you know, hopefully we can stimulate, but, you know, it's going to be up. The listeners are going to dictate this show tonight.
Right.
You've registered your
yes.
opinion.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks
much.
For calling
thank
in,
you.
And thanks
right.
also,
right.
thanks for listening.
Yeah. Right.
A long right. time listener, when he starts talking about 69th Street and
62nd.
62nd in the church there, yeah.
Well, I've been volunteering for over 20 years, so, during the fun drive.
I've been listening to BAI now for this past fund drive, and they haven't yet once asked for volunteers to come up. So I don't know. Maybe that's a new phase of the struggle here.
Well, when I went over there, there was only one volunteer, and we just got a lot of crank calls. Unfortunately, it was the first day of the fund drive, so
right.
I don't know what happened afterwards.
Well, listen, how did you feel about getting those crank calls as a longtime listener?
Unhappy.
Right.
During the last one, I made it a policy of. Right. People got on the phone and they were telling me their problems with the AI. And I understood what they were saying, but I always said I did not wish to speak about it because I was there to man the phone, to take pledges, and I didn't want to get into station business. I didn't want to talk about station business.
Right.
Some people understood that. Other people did not and were still mad.
It's just a reflection of the sentiment out there. We can't control people who call. This is the people, the population of New York, who's expressing this by whatever mechanism has brought this out.
Believe me, if people were agreeing with what's going on here, you wouldn't have been getting crank phone calls. You would have been getting people pledging because they agree with everything that's going on. You would have gotten huge pledges coming in. So it's quite obvious there's something.
It was that way.
Something amiss.
Hopefully, will be again.
I don't expect people to agree with everything on the air. I mean, if they agree with maybe 25%, that's okay. I mean, you know, some things on BAI. No one can listen to BAI all the time.
Well, Monroe can.
Yes, perhaps Monroe can, but
and does.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Listen. Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Right, sample bye-bye. Some other opinion.
Bye. Yes.
Okay. Whoops. Yeah, you're on the air. Hello? Oh,
hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. let's see. Yeah, it was recorded, the Caroline's thing.
Great.
It sounded pretty bad. the recording that I know of.
I thought you meant the performances. I couldn't imagine
No,
that.
The performances okay. were fabulous.
Well, Joyce, I didn't think it was that bad. I was listening on BIX, and I thought it was very good because it was me. So.
Yeah. And you were very good. And the kids were very good, too.
Yeah, they came up and did their Wizard of Oz routine.
And Toto, too?
Yes.
Toto
yes.
too.
Yeah. But Joyce, there is a clean recording of it, is there? Because I saw people with video cameras and everything like that. So.
Well, I hope they make it available.
Yeah.
Also, well, the person who just called, he was talking about programming, and it reminded me of a conversation I had with a BIX person, and as we were, you know, sitting and talking, you know, it reminded me of what WBII used to be like when I listened to it. You know, we were sitting there and we were talking about East Timor. And I really actually know nothing about East Timor except for, you know, what happened there.
Some people are not sure it happened.
Right.
And as I said on Tuesday night, there's an investigation going on to see if there is even the island of East Timor. And we'll be bringing more on that later.
But as we were talking about the history of the people of East Timor, it's just floored by, you know, just the history. And I'm like, well, that's why I listened to WBAI. It was like, you know, going to school or something. You know, I learned something, you know, every time I listen. That's not happening now. And giving money to something that I'm not learning from doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Mean East Timor, North Island, Tulia, Texas.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the list goes on and communities go on and on. that aren't being covered like they used to be. So, anyway, that's my two cents.
You're up late, Joyce. You got a lot of work to do in the morning.
This is true.
It's worth more than 2 cents.
All right. Good night.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is WBAI at 12:50, and we're waiting for Bob Fast. Any motorists out there see a big Cadillac and a big guy with a white beard? No, it's not Santa Claus. It's Bob Fast looking for a lift down to 120 Wall Street.
Yeah, please help him out. He's also a dead ringer for Walt Whitman, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. BAI, you're on the radio.
Yeah, good morning, guys. For the last caller that, before Joyce, who said he just wants good radio, when the Anthony Bias murder by the cops because his football bounced off their windshield, when that trial was reaching the point of the judge sentencing, WNYC, 820 AM.
This is WBAI in New York. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm telling you, but I'm comparing radios.
I just gave an ID.
I'm sorry?
It's an antiquated requirement. I don't know if it's even enforced, but...
Anyway, when the sentence was going to be announced for the Anthony Bias strangulation in front of his family and friends, WNYC that morning on the air show, Brian Lehr, had a cop from Lockport, New York, who wrote a book on the adrenaline rush and how when you're chasing a perp, high speed, this, that, and the other, you go into an adrenaline rush. And I was allowed to call into WNYC to try to bring it around to New York, and he wasn't even familiar with the issue of Anthony Bias. And
Brian Lehr?
You know, Brian would have known about it.
Yeah, I mean the cop he had on
right.
pumping his book, mm-hmm. The Adrenaline Rush. And I'm just, you know, I'm hoping that this window stays open. Are we pitting the night off the day? Like, am I supposed to donate some money tonight on your behalf? Is there a hammer over your head? If, like, I don't understand how it works. I just picked up the radio a few moments ago.
Well, as Bob said, if you support what's going on, I think the number to donate...
No, because I joked with Bob in March about I'd give $5 if I approved of what was going on. And... you know, less if I didn't, but Bob pointed out to me it would become a state secret, you know, how it turned out, and they're not allowing Amy Goodman on to fundraise, so I'm sort of conflicted, because all day long, Utrice has been talking about how you have to support the specific show you like, and that leaves me at a loss, because, you know, like, I wanted to give money for people that aren't allowed to fundraise. I'm just, you know, I mean, all day long she's been saying that, you know, the buck stops here. Each show has to carry its own weight, and I'm really torn, but, like, you know, thanks a lot for being there right now.
Listen, thanks for calling. I think we have a full switchboard, but isn't that always the way with Bob? It's always the way with Bob, a full switchboard.
Always the way, yeah, with Radio Unnameable, what Bob has given this air.
Yeah.
We are here, but I'm sure they're calling because they know its place, Radio Unnameable, that is, where mm-hmm. they can call in. Unless the phones don't work and they seem to be working okay, I don't want to put
yeah, on. Well, now you just jinxed it
by
saying that.
Let's see. Let's try the most commonly pressed button. Okay.
Number one.
Like all the ones.
Yellow.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So good to speak to you. So good to have actual free speech radio on Free Speech Radio.
That'll be enough of that.
I don't hear you beating down the callers, hanging up and insulting them, screaming at them.
The
don't
night,
don't press you all up.
The morning's still young.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
it is.
And it was so great to hear the voice of Al Lewis on this air, where he belongs, instead of being banned and fired.
And suspended.
You know, he made a pretty good point, because yesterday, as you guys might well know, Valerie Chambers of the Pacifica National Board defected, and she went with the minority of the board when they wrote a letter to Bessie Walsh stating that Amy Goodman must be reinstated immediately. Her salary, the salaries of her staff, and her show from a remote location must be played every morning on all five stations. Now, this is 6 members out of the 11 members of the board delivered this letter, had this letter delivered to Bessie Walsh yesterday. Today, Amy Goodman was still kept off the airwaves on the Pacifica network, except for KPFA. So what we're seeing happen, as Juan Gonzalez has stated, is a coup within a coup. That is that Bessie Walsh, Utrecht Leeds, Garland Ganter have decided to just run wild with the network and ignore the new majority of the board. In other words, guess what? The dissidents have won. We now have 6 votes, where the corporatizers only have 5 votes. And now that letters have been handed to Walsh to reinstate Amy Goodman immediately, they are actually a renegade bunch, kind of like MacArthur in Korea when Truman kept telling him to withdraw and he refused. And the fact that they flew in to WBAI to go on the air and pitch Yasko and Ganter and Walsh shows their absolute desperation, since the people of New York City have decided, and the tri-state area, have decided that they have no use for the Utricians and the Christmas Coosters, because they have not been giving any money. This marathon has not been making almost dollar one. They're not down 50% or 60%. They're down more like 90% or 95%. So their desperate tactics of all flying to New York and getting on the air to beg, while of keeping people like Amy Goodman off the air, shows that the coup is failing and the people are coming back.
Well, listen, be also careful. From what I've been reading, this might be just a single issue that she signed on to.
Yeah.
About this, that it could very well flip-flop. I mean, that's how volatile the situation is, that she signed on to this letter, but we don't know what else that she'll do. She's out of Houston.
She's also stated in a phone call with one of the dissidents last week on the Good Light board that she thinks that Utrecht Leeds should be immediately fired for the assault on Amy Goodman if, after their investigation, the assault is proven. And Valerie Chambers also said that Utrecht should turn over the videotapes from the new security system to show the assault or non-assault on videotape. And if the videotapes are not turned over, Valerie Chambers says it's going to be very bad for Utrecht. So Valerie Chambers isn't just on board on the reinstatement of Amy Goodman. She wants the immediate dismissal of Utrecht Lead if she has, in fact, assaulted Amy Goodman. And I believe Amy. I believe she was assaulted.
Well, listen, thank you for your point of view and calling in, and it's amazing. I don't know what we'd do now without the Internet. I mean, everything is
or
so
instantaneous. Or the surveillance camera?
But let me just say one or two other words, if I may. The listeners to WBAI for over 40 years who have been supporting it and financing it have been treated worse than dogs. Not only have the incredible reporters and producers who've been fired and banned been treated horribly, the listeners themselves have been treated less than human by anybody else on these airwaves. They have been hung up on every single time they've tried to call into any show at all and talk about anything about this coup and about, you know, the absolute flogging of people like Knight, Bernard White, Mimi Rosenberg, Ken Nash, Amy Goodman. You know, they've been yelled at, they've been insulted, they've been threatened. If they email, they're told they're going to be reported to the FBI. In other words, one of the biggest reasons this marathon is totally failing is that this coup has for 8 months insulted, berated, and spit on every listener who ever gave a dime to this station. And that's why they're failing. And that's why the board is now coming around to supporting the dissident movement.